Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another edition, a special edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am Weir Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, not bad. How's it going?
Not much, man. Good to have you on the show as usual. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in as usual, especially on a special Sunday morning. Sunday/Saturday night edition. I want to thank you for that. And, of course, you know, we talk sports entertainment and everything else. And, you know, we're going to talk about the NBA draft, talk about our takes on, you know, especially the Knicks drafting Porzingis and trading away Tim Hardaway. We're also going to talk about the Rangers trade with them dealing Cam Talbot and Haglin also. And We're gonna basically talk about what's going on in with baseball, with the Mets and the Yankees, and wrap it off with a little WWE news. But of course, most importantly, you guys could talk about this or any topic, and the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to express yourself, and hopefully enjoy the show. Without a further ado, let's talk about the NBA draft. As you know, it happened Thursday night. Not surprisingly, the Timberwolves drafted and the second pick, which should have been the Knicks pick, but that was the luck of the draw. Lakers leapfrogged the Knicks and drafted D'Angelo Russell with the 2 pick. And then with the 3rd pick, the 76ers drafted Jahlil Okafor. And, of course, with the Knicks sitting 4, the Knicks, as you all know, drafted Porzingis. You know, a 7'2", center from Latvia. And, this guy has high upsides. Many people think he has the highest potential, upside, than anybody in the draft. And as you would expect, with the Knicks fans, hosting a draft in New York, this time it's in Brooklyn, the Knicks fans voiced their opinion. Most famously, a little kid, it looked like he was being egged on by his father to boo the pick. But the pick is a very promising pick. I mean, the only way you could boo this trade is if they would have passed on, the other top 3 guys, the aforementioned 3 guys who were drafted before Porzingis. So, I mean, you can't fault the trade. The draft. And, the Knicks, they drafted the best player. They could have went with Kaminsky, who's ready. And they could have got Moutier, which, the guy also has potential. But, as with prospects, you never know,
Exactly. Yep.
But the Knicks also traded away Tim Hardaway Jr., but they also got what many people believe was the steal of the draft. They acquired Jaren Grant, the Notre Dame point guard, who had a terrific season, a terrific career, as a member of the Fighting Irish. So he's going to make his NBA debut this upcoming season with the New York Knicks. And, as a result, they traded away Tim Hardaway Jr., a guy who had a lot of promise. But unfortunately, he regressed this season, this past season. So, they basically traded a guy who is similar to Tim Hardaway Jr., and they expect that Grant will live up to that, to his, to the hype.
Yeah.
Like Tim Hardaway this past season. And the Knicks also drafted, they also traded and got a guy, I forgot his name, a Hispanic dude, I think Hernan Gomez or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah, this guy, he dominated the European League. I mean, he averaged, I think, 25 points and, 13 rebounds and stuff like that. So, I mean, this guy, if he lives up to the potential, he could be a good player. I mean, obviously, certainly doubt he'll put up 25 points and 13 rebounds, but, he could be a decent player,
Yeah, I like the Grant. I have mixed feelings about the Hardaway trade. On one hand, I think Hardaway, he had potential to be a good player. He could shoot the ball. On the other hand, he was very inconsistent last year. You saw when Carmelo went down, he had a chance to step up, but he didn't really do that much when Carmelo was down. So he has to be more consistent, going forward as an NBA player. But I like the Grant trade. I think he's a good point guard. He has the size, and he might be the next point guard of the future, maybe, you know, if he plays well.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head, you know. Grant has, you know, has the potential, you know. He racked up a lot of assists, you know, with Notre Dame, and he was sharing the, you know, the point guard duties with another. He didn't have the ball, you know, always in his hand. You know, he wasn't like just the premier, you know, point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He was sharing the duties, and he still, you know, averaged to have a pretty good career with Notre Dame. And everything you said, I totally agree with you 100%. You know, I like Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, the guy had potential, you know, to hit threes and be that gutsy point guard we've been looking forward to. But unfortunately, this past season, especially after, Carmelo got hurt, you know, that season-ending injury, and, this was Tim Hardaway's chance, you know, the key was in his court, you know, he had the opportunity, you know, to prove that, you know, he could make a name for himself, you know. I mean, other than, you know, his father's name, you know, legendary career, you know, he could have, you know, proved, you know, lived up to the hype, you know, to the hype, basically. But unfortunately, you know, he regressed, and as a result, you know, he got traded, and, you know, there's rumors that, you know, Carmelo wasn't happy with the trade because, you know, he was, you know, closer to him.
Yeah, I mean, there are rumors that Carmelo didn't like it, but then again, Carmelo posted a tweet that he likes the pick, and he thinks he's looking forward to playing with Porzingis, so I don't know what to believe.
Can you freak the audio a little bit? But yeah, I heard what you said. The Carmelo, basically, he denied the rumor that he wasn't happy, and, you know, he welcomes, Porzingis, you know, on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Porzingis will be a good fit. Again, you got to have to give him a few years before you mm-hmm. see any big production from him.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years, you know, is basically where you see, you know, he's expected to put, you know, live up to the hype, you know, the potential that he has, you know, Porzingis.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, you know, upcoming free agency news, DeAndre Jordan, you know, the Clippers center, he, one of the teams he's going to visit in free agency is also the Knicks, and, you know, the numbers he put up this season, you know, he'd be perfect with the Knicks, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah. Realistically, the name I'm hearing that Knicks are going to really go after is Greg Monroe from the Pistons.
Really?
That's the guy, you know, it seems like they're really going to go after. And David West, you know, he's another veteran, 35-year-old, you know, and they're expecting him to, you know, play on the team, you know. I mean, to sign with the Knicks. You know, obviously, you know, he's a durable guy, you know, a gritty player. That's another guy, you know, who they think is going to be on the Knicks' radar.
That'd be a great pickup for Knicks to get David West.
Yeah. Give them that enforcer.
Yeah.
But we'll see if that happens, you know, when the free agency starts in a few days, basically. So,
it should be very interesting. I thought there was going to be a lot of trades on Thursday during the NBA draft, but...
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yeah. You're basically right. I mean, you know, of course, Knicks trade away Hardaway. I'm trying to think. Yeah, there wasn't really much trade, really. The Nets, they traded away, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think of the guy who they traded away. The guy who was good with them last year. I forgot his name for whatever.
Did he have a big head?
I don't know if he had a big head.
Who did they trade? Was it the center?
I think it was a center, but it wasn't Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez is going to be a free agent.
Mason Plumlee.
Yeah, Mason Plumlee. That's who the guy was. They traded him away.
Yeah. They got Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
Right, the pick.
Yeah. That's a dumb trade, by the way. Plumlee
was good with them.
Good. Yeah.
He was really good with them, this year.
I don't know what that's thinking.
And thinking of trades, in New York, that don't make sense. I didn't make sense to me was the Rangers, man. They traded away Cam Talbot, and this guy was, arguably the best backup goalie in the game this year, this past season.
This guy,
he hardly skipped a beat when Lundqvist went down. The guy had at least 16 wins coming off the bench. They traded him away. They got three draft picks. They also traded away Hagelin also for a guy who's similar to him but not as talented and quick as he is. To me, I don't know. I think I don't like the trade, to be honest with you. I mean, I think they could have got better. Especially off the season that Cam Talbot had.
Yeah.
I mean, the league, you need, goalies is as important as having a ace starting pitcher in baseball,
Really,
everybody is in need of a goalie. I mean, I think they could have held out and got a better deal. But then again, I'm not Glenn Sather. I don't know what realistic scenarios they could have had. I mean, they did acquire the Blackhawks backup goalie, in place of Talbot. But I would have stick with Talbot. I mean, I would have groomed them to been the heir apparent to Lundqvist. Whenever he retires, maybe, I don't know, 5 years from now, at least, I don't know. I would have kept him. Unless if I was bowled over.
Maybe Rangers, maybe the Rangers see something that we don't see.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But in any case, hopefully these draft picks will pan out with the Rangers.
Let's hope so.
Shifting gears, let's stick to baseball. The Mets, after their recent horrible road trip where they lost the first 7 games, they won the last game of the road trip. I believe it was in Atlanta, if I'm serving me right. And they won the first game at home against the Reds. Syndergaard on Friday night. He pitched brilliantly, and they won by the final score 2-1. Granderson, man, he's been on the tear, man. I think he's hit 5 home runs in the last 6, 7, or 8 games or so.
Man.
I mean, this guy has been putting up. I mean, he's finally living up to the hype. I mean, he had a leadoff home run. It was yesterday. He hit it in the Syndergaard start. I should say Friday night start. He left the game with a leadoff home run. He hit another home run on a Saturday afternoon. But unfortunately, the grandy man give it and the grandy man take it away because he almost made this great catch. On Saturday night, with the Mets leading 1-0, and the ball went out of his glove. I mean, it was raining hard. So So the rain, you know, usually when he dives and gets a ball, you know, it doesn't come out, but it was raining really hard. It wasn't raining. It wasn't only raining cats and dogs. It was raining the whole zoo in Flushing, man. It was horrible. So when he died, he slid, you know, he got the ball, but then it came out of his glove, and then they ruled it a double, even though Gerrit Cohen thought it should have been an error. You know, despite the fact, you know, he had to run a long way to try to get to make the catch, and dived, but it would have been a great catch, but unfortunately it came out of his glove, and that led to a double. And then Brandon Phillips, the Met killer, he hit an RBI single, which made him have continue a 32 game Flushing Queens hitting streak. I mean, he's hitting 32-33 consecutive games in Queens, you know, dating back to Shea Stadium. Phillips, he tied the game up. And then Grandy Man had a chance in the bottom six after they pinch hit for Matt Harvey. I'm thinking about the review for a second. After they, they pinch hit for Matt Harvey, which ended up loading up the bases because the pitcher walked multiple batters in that inning with two outs. And then Grandy Man, he flew out on a 3-1 count. So that ended the rally. That basically ended the missed chances of giving Matt Harvey the win, and prevented them from getting the win, which now they're going to have to do later today at 1 o'clock, where they're going to try to hopefully play the final two innings of the suspended game from Saturday afternoon. And try to win that game before they start Sunday afternoon game, where Steven Matz, the Mets' top pitching prospect, you know, dominant lefty from AAA, was dominating the AAA, the Pacific League, which is, you know, basically a home run hitting league, and he's straight up dominating. Dominating AAA, and Matt is gonna make his Met debut, his major league debut, which is gonna be a dream come true for him because he's from Long Island. He grew up a Mets fan, and in the first time in recent history, a prominent Met player is going to debut at home.
That should be great to see.
Definitely no doubt about that. So, you know, hopefully he lives up to the hype and get the win later today.
Hopefully he gets the win in his first start ever.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All eyes are on him. His family's going to be in attendance, and hopefully it'll be a W for Steven Matz. And shifting gears is, of course, to the Yankees. And, you know, the Yankees, they won earlier today.
9-6.
Oh, yeah. And they brought the home run ball today.
Yeah, McCann hit a grand slam. Chris Young homered to build a lead late against Houston starter Brett Oberholzer. And Tanaka didn't have it today. Tanaka gave up a career-high 6 earned runs and 7 hits, including three home runs. So this is the second start that he's given up, you know, back-to-back games with 3 home runs to a team. But Yankees had his back today. Yankees scored a lot of runs, and they end up winning this game 9-6, and so they've run the second game of the 3-game series after winning it last night. Young also had a home run in that game last night, a 3-1 home run to lead us to the victory. So tomorrow, Yankees are going to go for the sweep.
I mean, that's good. You know, the Yankees are, you know, they're rebounding after their, you know, their recent stretch where they weren't doing too good, especially against the Orioles. But the Yankees are riding the ship.
Yeah, you got Nova back now. Nova pitched good. Yankees just need to, you know, hold on. And, you know, All-Star game is going to be coming very soon. So hopefully, you know, after the All-Star game, maybe they could go on a winning streak here.
Speaking of the All-Star game, what's your thoughts on the Kansas City Royal fans stuffing the ballot, man? They're practically all the players except for one player on the starting and the position player is in the Royal. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened a lot, you know. You've got Yankee fans stuffed the ballot. You have Red Sox fans stuffed the ballot. So I guess it's time for the small teams to have their chance, you know. So I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, you know, the All-Star game is an exhibition game. It's for the fans. So, I mean, if they want to vote that way, let them vote, you know.
I agree with your point to an extent. But I wouldn't have a problem with, you know, if it was because to me the All-Star game, like every other All-Star game, is an exhibition game. And for them to put the World Series on the line in a, you know, exhibition game, it never made sense to me. So I mean, for that reason, the ballot shouldn't be stuffed. I mean,
yeah,
if it was just an exhibition game, which to me, in my eyes, I still view it as an exhibition game, even though, you know, as a baseball fan, you know, I have pride in the National League. You know, I want the National League to win, you know, because that's my league. But I don't think the World Series should be, you know, the home field advantage in the World Series shouldn't rest in the outcome of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I think it should have been the way how it used to be in the old school days, where I used to alternate. That's me. Or whoever has the best record. That's even better. Whoever has the best record should, just like in all other sports, whoever has the best record should have the all. I mean, whoever has the best record should have home field advantage. That's basically what it should be.
Right.
I mean, if they want to continue that with the All-Star game, you know, having, you know, the National League host the, you know, host the All-Star game and then the American League, that's fine. But World Series, I mean, it should always be, you know, the best record gets the home field advantage. I mean, that's how it used to be, and that's how it sure should be.
Well, it's different these days, you know, and we just have to accept how it is right now.
It's a bad gimmick, just like having interleague every single day. I mean, the interleague isn't special anymore.
Yeah.
It's, you know, interleague used to be like potential World Series, you know, matchup, you know. Kind of a barometer. Okay, imagine if these two teams would ever face each other in the World Series. How would it look? I mean, obviously, October and a regular season game, I mean, it's night and day. You know, it's generally nice to see, you know, two teams that never played each other face each other, or more importantly, two interleague rivals who are natural rivals face each other. That's what interleague is all about.
Yeah, you're right.
And now they're having teams play interleague. There's no rhyme or reason. You know, you can play one interleague team, and afterwards, 5 months later, you play another interleague team. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't, but hey, nothing we can do about it right now. All we can do is just watch.
Exactly. But moving on to WWE, man. In Saturday, they're going to have the 4th of July. WWE Network is going to air live the WWE special live from Japan, and you know, one of the highlights is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston, and the main event is going to be Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor, who was a major star in the Indies and even in Japan. So I mean, it's a homecoming for him, you know, and it's expected he's gonna win the NXT title.
That should be interesting.
So that's it. The only problem with it is that I'm definitely not gonna watch it live. And you want me to tell you why?
Why?
Because apparently the show is gonna be on 5 a.m. in the morning. I think Eastern time, if my memory serves me right.
Oh yeah, definitely you can't watch that.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it on the WWE Network. You know, I don't know, later that day or the next day, because I'm definitely not gonna wake up 5:30 in the morning.
For real? That's crazy.
To watch, I mean, it's interesting. They got great matchups. You know, they got Brock versus Kofi, which I really want to see. You know, Kevin Owens, man, he's grown on me, man. I see why people are hyping this guy up. You know,
he has a personality.
Yeah, dude, a friend of mine, before he even came to WWE, he was talking about him, and, I mean, I see the hype why people, you know, well, back when he was Kevin Steen, you know, now he goes by, you know, the name Kevin Owens, in tribute of Owen Hart, which he named his son after, you know, who in real life is a John Cena fan, just like, you know, the storyline is, you know. So, Kevin Owens, he's been great, man. He's going to face John Cena again, but this time for the U.S. title, which I assume he will win, you know, and Finn Balor will defeat him for the NXT title. And I guess I will make him just focus on the main roster now.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully this is the last matchup between Cena and Kevin Owens coming up here.
Well, for a while.
Yeah.
Because as great as their matches are, they're stealing the show for real. I mean, other than Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, I mean, those two dudes have chemistry, but they should hold off on it for a few months. You know, you don't want that feud to be old hat. You know.
Yeah, seriously.
So, just like what they did with the Shield, you got as much as us fans, you know, we love seeing, you know, these stuff go on, but they gotta kill it before it gets stale. So, yeah, this Kevin Owens Cena feud is, you know, been awesome, but they definitely gotta end it after this Battleground pay per view event, and then a few months from now, maybe towards Royal Rumble or SummerSlam or something like that. Not SummerSlam. Survivor Series or Royal Rumble. They could restart that feud.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah. They can't do what they did with Rusev, having him fight him, like, I don't know, five pay-per-views in a row. I lost count. It was like four, at least four.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they were fighting. They've been fighting the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, they definitely need to, postpone that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you're excited about the Japan special also?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see how that's going to turn out, how the fans react.
And also, you know, the Divas match, they're going to have the typical three-way, you know, between Nikki, Paige and Naomi.
Yeah, that should be interesting. And you're talking about Cena fighting opponents all the time. These Divas have been fighting for the last 3 to 6 months.
I know, for real.
Same matches over and over.
It is the same matches over and over. It's the same three girls fighting each other. And now Roman Reigns is going to fight Bray Wyatt, you know, because Bray Wyatt cost him, you know, the chance of winning the Money in the Bank, you know, earlier this month.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And that's basically pretty much similar to the Bray Wyatt-John Cena feud, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been there for a minute, and then he pops up at a pay-per-view event and costs somebody a chance, you know, at a major, you know, match.
Yep.
Tell me, Bray Wyatt, you know, they have to find something for him to do, man. They can't have him disappear for no reason. I mean, to me, I think he should have been the Money in the Bank winner. Now, he didn't even compete in the match. I mean, I thought he should have. I thought he should have won because to me, Sheamus. Yeah, I know Sheamus is a former champion, but I don't know. To me, he's a mid carder. I mean, I know he's won the titles multiple times, but to me, he just seems forced down WWE fans' throats.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he should have won the Money in the Bank. I thought Bray Wyatt should have at least competed and won. Because, I mean, basically, you want the heel to win the Money in the Bank. I would love to see Dean Ambrose win it. But right now, they're just toying with Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is basically like the Mick Foley. You know, he's a fan favorite. But they don't want him, you know, right now, they don't want him to win the title. Like, they're just toying with the fans.
I don't mean, especially that last event the last two events where he's looked like he's won the title and then
they take it away from him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's kind of like Jericho when you think about it. Jericho, he won the title in 2000, I think it was, and then the Triple H reversed the decision.
Yeah.
And then I think Jericho won the title like 6 times or so. He's been a 6-time world champion, and he's never won it as a face.
Yep, exactly.
So that time he won it, it doesn't even count because WWE reversed it. So all those other times he won it was as a heel.
Screwed him over.
So it looked like the time Dean Ambrose will probably win is if he turns heel, if they don't make him beat Seth Rollins, because now Seth Rollins is going to face Brock Lesnar, who was beat up by the Authority this Monday night.
Yeah, I think Brock Lesnar is going to win that title back.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's gonna win the title back, and then they're going to force his feud between Sheamus.
Yep.
So, anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show, IMAC, Saturdays at 11. And come back here to check out Sports of Religion, Sundays at 6.
Yep, you heard the man. Next week, the show will be back at its regular time, Sundays at 6. So check out both shows. I want to thank you all for listening to another edition of Sports of Religion. With my co-host, Ricardo Matthew, I'm